28th.
Holy shit, it is so loud.
It's January 28th. It's time for the new Stephen Spencer Show, as we do every Sunday. I'm Pete. I'm here with Dean and Craig.
What's happening?
Hey.
We're going to talk about a lot of things.
As today. Always.
As always. I'm going to run through this.
Yes, yeah, so I would like about. You to.
We're going to talk about the State of the Union address, which happened this week, and of course, how it relates to Dune, which I'm sure is a topic that a lot of people are thinking about. We're going to talk about MySpace, which everyone loves and everyone's on. I found my entire high school on it earlier today. We're going to listen to some music from Wet Cat, my friend, some music from me.
Mm. We're very excited. Pete's new album is out.
Yeah, it came out last week.
It's already gone multi-plat in Japan.
Yes.
Kableha.
We're going to talk about theater, Cirque du Soleil, which Craig saw and he has a review of.
I do.
Yes. And some video games, and then we're going to end the show.
We don't really have to say that, but yeah.
Well, it's on the bullet point sheet, so we might as well.
Yeah. I'm reading the whole thing.
Actually, people who are listening to this probably... Just randomly, if anyone was following my argument with Dean, probably expected World War III, but we like good generals, we laid out the map.
This is not on the bullet point sheet.
Yes, and this is what
I'm
we
starting
talked about.
This is the this was what the fight was about.
I'm
you're going to open it up again. Let's talk about the State of the Union. Dean is now a Republican, he's going to represent the Republican side, the view, the State of the Union.
If anybody listening watched the State of the Union address this past week, and you have not become a right-wing conservative prick, then you're crazy. So I'm guessing no one here watched it.
No.
Craig, not at all. You don't even know what the hell it is.
It's big.
Yeah, it is big. Pete, you read about it, though. You got your information from the biased leftist media.
Yes, the Associated Press, but only because I can't... watching it would make me angry, and I...
Watching it make you angry because of the damn liberals, right?
Of course, yes.
Just like me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you want to hear my... Here's my view.
I just want you to know
I'm
scared. I'm a little scared.
I snapped. Pretty much my whole political life up until now, I've thought of myself as an independent, somewhat liberal, you know, sides of the Democrats more often than not.
Middle of the road, go where it's right.
Yes, not anymore.
Go where it's left.
They have revealed themselves to me.
Who?
The fucking Democrats and the liberals.
Are they Cyclones?
They've revealed themselves to me.
Okay.
And I've shed my skin. I have shed my skin. I am no longer part of that crew. Let me speak.
Tell us why.
All right. First off, let's get into some views. Michael will love this, and he'll hate me for it. But Michael, bring it on. I moved to Japan, you non-American prick.
Oh, my God. Oh, and keep in mind, to anyone that's like, oh, my God, this is about to go on for half an hour. We're shortening the segment, so we're going to stay a little more on track.
All right.
Apologize. We're on it.
I don't support the war, Craig and Pete.
Okay.
I support the protection of humanity. I support the protection of basic human rights.
Agreed.
I support a world where ordinary people don't have to live in constant fear that they're going to be killed because of their beliefs.
Good. So far, so good.
Now, I know the founding fathers of our country have spoken to me.
To you.
That they don't believe that we should be involved in others' affairs, and I concur that we should be... work in relationship with them, but never get fully entangled into their affairs. I agree, but we are entangled now, and so I believe that we have an obligation to finish that entanglement. Watching the State of the Union, the popular sentiment is just so apparent. Of all the polls now are against the war. 80% of the war of Americans are saying don't go to war, don't send them more troops, pull everything out.
That was versus the 70% that wanted to go to war to begin with.
Yes, and it's probably the same people.
Yeah.
Which is funny, because pretty much any time the masses, you know, sway to something, you pretty much know it's wrong.
Right.
And but now, watching these politicians kind of jump on that bandwagon of popular opinion, of just... Let me read something from page A8 of the Bergen Record today.
Hit it hard.
I'm starting to lose my cool. And this is, and I picked this out because I felt this represents the popular feeling of the war.
Okay.
The enemy is emboldened by the fact that they have foreign troops in their country. What Congress doesn't have any, what Congress doesn't have anything to do with it. They're going to be there killing Americans or anybody else that they want to kill for as long as they want to kill them. All we're doing is providing more people for them to kill. And that, to me,
That really sounds like it was, that's like an 8-year-old that's against
the war.
No,
that was actually, I think, a war veteran who has a son in Iraq.
Bergen, I have a problem with the Bergen
so
record.
So do I.
I think it's written for third graders, essentially, is my main problem with it.
There is one of the epitomes of biased left-wing media.
I don't even feel like they're left-wing. I feel like it's a dumbed-down version of the news, though.
They spin so bad.
Yeah, I know.
And but this argument, to me, is like this tired, defeated argument that the whole fucking country is giving right now of people are going to be killing people no matter what. Let's not be involved. And it's like, I start, and I know you can't draw direct comparisons, but you kind of can, of the whole, like, thinking World War II. I know you're going to give me a weird look for this, Pete. If in World War II we're like, you know what, Nazis are just killing everyone no matter what. You know, what are we going to do? We're just, us going there, we're just going to provide more people for them to kill.
That was the attitude, though.
Yeah. And
until
we,
Pearl Harbor.
And we need another Pearl Harbor, then. Is that what you're saying?
Well, the World Trade Center was another Pearl Harbor, essentially, because, I mean, what was going on in Iraq was going on for a long time.
Well, to me, it's the same thing.
They bring up oil at all during the State of the Union address?
They brought up using our dependency off oil.
Okay.
But, I don't know. And just the thing is, President Bush said this, and I'm going to read this to you directly, Craig, because this is to you. President Bush said, excuse me while I flip pages, free people are not drawn to violent and malignant ideologies, and most will choose a better way when they're given a chance. So we advance our own security interests by helping moderates and reformers and brave voices for democracy. The great question of our day is whether America will help men and women in the Middle East to build free societies and share in the rights of all humanity. And I say, for the sake of our own security, we must. Before you roll your eyes, he goes on to say, this is not the fight we entered in Iraq, but it is the fight we're in. Every one of us wishes this war were over and won, yet it would not be like us to leave our promises unkept, our friends abandoned, and our own security at risk. Ladies and gentlemen, on this day, at this hour, it is still within our power to shape the outcome of this battle. Let us find our resolve and turn events towards victory. And you know what all the fucking Democrats and liberals did at that point? They sat on their fucking hands. With little sourpuss faces on.
I couldn't. That would have made me turn off the TV if I would have heard him say that.
See, to me, just the fact that these people who were saying the exact opposite a couple months ago and now are on the whole side of popular opinion.
I have a problem with the Democrats, too.
Yeah, both sides drive me nuts, and that's why I'm saying I shed my fucking skin of siding with any of them.
Yeah, me too. I agree with you. But you know, what Bush said there, though, I wouldn't get behind that. It's fucking ridiculous.
Why?
Because it was like a really well, first of all, the reasons for us, I mean, it was not nice of him to say that this wasn't the reason that we went there to begin with.
Yeah, well,
the reasons that we went there to begin with have changed every 3 months until he decided on a good enough reason for us to be there.
Because they realized their platform was based, that everyone knew their platform was based on lies, and they kind of scrambled for
to find a legitimate platform.
Yeah.
But now he's hardcore behind that. Their new fake platform, that they're going to give freedom, which is an abstract ideal, which I don't think you could give to people to begin with. Right.
But you can't abandon these people.
All right. His father did.
Yeah.
All right.
Not me.
But he's saying that Americans usually don't, but we did in Vietnam and in the Cuba.
Those days are over, friend. Now Craig's coming back after falling asleep. Don't worry. We haven't been on it that long.
We're good.
All right. So why don't you, you're reading The Hunters of Dune.
Yes. And Frank Herbert, who is the author of the Dune series, predicted this entire war. And I am doing a duty to myself and to the country by finishing the series, which his son, Brian Herbert, and Kevin J. Anderson is completing, to know the outcome of the war.
The cat is eating the mic stand. I'm sorry.
It's all right.
Baby.
But you know what? Let me read one quick thing from one of the Dune characters, because he would support George Bush right now as well.
The Dune character, but
yes,
not necessarily the authors of the Dune novel.
Yes. Right. Duncan Idaho said, Damn your analyses and your infernal projections. Damn your legal arguments, your manipulations, your whole subtle and not so subtle pressures. Talk, talk, talk. It all comes down to the same thing. When a difficult decision must be reached, the real choice is obvious.
He could have also said that to which, as a reply to what George, what you just said, that George.
Yeah,
Bush said.
But coming from a angry right wing view now, it's he supports George Bush.
But it could go either way.
It could. All right. But yeah, I've been following the Dune series for a while now. I've read all the books except for three, which his son wrote through one of the prequel series. Dune is being finished up. It's with two parts. Hunters of Dune and Sandworms of Dune, which is released this August.
Is that that's the last part? That's the that's second the last, last part.
That's the last part. That's the final. Pretty much the final Dune book is split into two books. Hunters of Dune is the first book of that, and it's going to be sad to see the series come to an end and the legacy completed.
When was the first Dune book was written in the
1879?
It was written in the 60s.
I think the late 50s, early 60s. Yeah.
It really, I was watching the extended DVD of the original movie that David Lynch did, and it is almost the same exact story as to what's going on right now in Iraq, except cooler.
Yeah, it's you know, the Dune series originates on a battle, you know, for resources in a desert planet.
Yeah.
And many religious undertones and beliefs and jihads.
You think about how much the spice and oil have in common.
Spice is oil.
Yeah. Except we can't, we have no interdimensional travel using oil yet.
Not yet, and we can't get high off oil yet. Or can you?
Oh, you can. You
Craig,
can huff it.
Can you get high off oil?
Craig's high off oil right now.
I don't do drugs.
Craig is so scared that he's going to deviate off topic because he knows that, that he hasn't talked in the past 20 minutes.
I am. I will say, though, in regards to Dune, when I watched it when I was a little boy.
You watched the David Lynch original Dune?
Right.
Okay.
I was a little boy, and I remember a wormy beetle thing, and the goddamn dog is barking in the background again.
Don't worry.
It adds ambience to the ambiance.
Depth.
Yes.
I was watching the thing, and the beetle, I think, there was a part of the
sandworm.
The sandworm or something, and it smelled like car exhaust.
You smelled the sandworm?
through your TV.
Yeah.
No, sandworms don't smell like car exhaust. They smell like the spice melange.
What does that
smell like? It's like a cinnamon kind of a
sense. It definitely was very bitter and harsh, I remember.
Well, maybe that was because you never smelt it before. Did you have any like psychic thoughts after you smelled that?
No, I just thought, man, these beetles smell like car exhaust.
Were you in a pool filled with gas? Because I know your mom. I know you just visited her. I know that she was into filling kiddie pools with gas.
What? That's not
when
true.
When you were a kid.
That's a lie.
Yes.
But anybody who hasn't read the Dune series should, because it's a staple of humanity. And you'll have more perspective on wars. And it's what I really liked about it. I was reading the Butlerian Jihad trilogy, which Brian Herbert, Frank Herbert's son, also wrote. It's a prequel to Dune. It discusses the machine wars that set up a lot of stuff that happened within the actual Dune novels.
Right.
And a lot of it's... The Dune novels in general are based on a lot of power plays and power struggles. But these books especially were, and like it really had like a lot of references that I almost felt you could like see like leadership working and like how like the lies of leadership like really come together to shape public opinion, and like just even to the point of like it made me think about the Iraq War and how they, you know, misled everybody in a lot of ways. And like almost thinking of really how that really is just a political plan of just like lying in such ways that you just gain this like fervor to support you. You know?
I know what you're saying.
Yeah, it really.
I love fervor.
You do. But I found Kevin J. Anderson on MySpace today.
Who was the co-author of these later
books.
Dune books.
Yeah, and it's just funny to see, you know, just anybody's on MySpace. The fact that even this author, and he has like writing tips and, you know, links to his books and what he's working on. And
right.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to do a little segment about MySpace and LiveJournal because I'm on the internet a lot. Socially networking. making friends.
Do you have like a little, you know, online tag that says here for social networking friends?
I have it tattooed on my arm.
Oh, okay.
But I look at it while I'm on the internet and I read it over and over again to myself. But I was going to do a little thing about MySpace. I was looking up facts about MySpace, how everyone on Earth is on it and things like that. And you're on MySpace, right, Craig?
I am. Well, not my personal pages.
But your band's on MySpace.
My band's on MySpace. My business is on MySpace.
Megavolt Sound
okay. Productions, whatever, yeah.
Yeah.
That's on there. I used to have a personal page, and I was like, unless you're using it for dating or business, I don't really see the point.
Yeah, I'm going to delete my personal page. I have one. I haven't logged into it in like 6 months or something exactly. Like that.
See, what happens when I see, like, I'll occasionally find someone I know or used to know their personal page, and I'll be like, this is so embarrassing.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it really is. Yeah.
No, mine's embarrassing to myself every time I stumble on it because I haven't, like I said, I haven't even logged in about 6 months, so it's okay. Like old shit is on there. But this morning I found like I said before, everyone that I know, everyone I've ever met, I think in my life is on MySpace.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know what? Have you ever found Annie Duesenberry on there?
No, but I have a story about Annie Duesenberry, which I will share with you off air that you'll be very interested in.
You know, I used to live next to her.
Did I tell you the story?
No.
Should you tell me on air, or you should tell me off air? Well, she's a dominatrix in LA, and I found that out through MySpace.
Yeah, she used to be a dominatrix in New York, and I have a few stories about it. Actually, more than one.
All right. We'll be talking about you off air, Annie.
So you know.
I'm sorry, I almost deviated off the show. I had a little bit.
Pray continue, Pete.
Sorry.
But
MySpace, we're talking about everyone's on there.
I'll just do this really. I'll wrap this up really quick.
Don't wrap it up.
No. MySpace. I'm going to wrap it up, Dean. I'm going to become you. I'm going to be the new you and just yell at people.
I want to be the new Dean.
I would like to have someone else have the burden.
All right.
There we go. Thanks. Enough. That was good. Dang.
Yeah. MySpace. Everyone's on it. I'm not that into MySpace. I'm getting into it recently. I'm very, very into LiveJournal. You can find me on there often. 24 hours a day.
All the time.
This is a guy I think I met through LiveJournal. He's a friend of mine. His name is Gavin. Gavin Geist, I think, is his last name. I think. I don't know my friend's last names.
As a friend, you've never met him, right?
I've never met him in real life.
IRL.
But I talk to him all the time online. He's a really good artist and musician.
I'm sorry, what do you use to talk to people? You use, like, just through LiveJournal, or you actually use, like, an AIM program?
This is how our relationship would start if I met you through LiveJournal.
Well, we kind of did.
All right. We knew each other.
Yeah.
But this is if I met you today through LiveJournal. We have a lot in common. We talk through LiveJournal. It's slow at first, but it picks up a little bit.
Yeah. Like by posting, right? You talk through posting.
Yeah, comments. Yeah.
So nothing is personal.
No, listen. Then it will move on. It'll move up to email.
Oh, okay.
Second base is email.
Okay.
And then Google Chat.
Really?
Yeah. I use sometimes.
I don't even, you know, progress to email, really. I just kind of do everything through comments with people. And I've given up on chat programs.
You frantically email us about the show.
That's true. That is true. We get 600 emails about the show every day, which all read sort of like suicide notes.
I actually texted Dean, asked if he wanted to do the show today because he seemed so angry. Mm,
so did I.
Did you get the picture?
What picture?
Never mind.
I got it.
Oh.
Yeah. All right. So this guy, he's in a band, or it's just him?
It's just him. Like I said, I was friends with him. You could order his CD from Wetcat, one word, .org. The name of his band or him is Wetcat.
Wetcat.
Yes.
Okay.
Excuse me. His CD, I think his CD is $8, and it's
that's cheap.
Yeah. When I first, and he just lost his job, which is why I'm doing this. He's poor. He needs your $8. You should go, and you could also get it through iTunes.
Okay.
But when I first heard I got his CD this summer, I ordered it, and when I first heard it, I was like, this is not exactly the type of music that I usually listen to, but I listened to it a lot during the summer.
It grew on you, or?
It just grew on me after the second time I heard it. I was like, okay. Oh, this is pretty damn good. Yeah, it's a sort of dancey, new wave, funk, hip-hop weirdness, but here, I'm going to play a song.
Great.
That's actually sort of a poppier song that's on there. The rest of it is really, like I said, it was sort of the soundtrack to the summer for me.
Well, it has that, like, it has that kind of like strong beat behind it, but it has that desperation of sound that you usually don't hear with a strong beat, kind of to me.
Yeah, it's really the guy's also a good visual artist. He makes cool stuff.
What do you mean by visual artist?
He does collages and drawings. I actually did a drawing with him.
Really?
Yeah, but he's a cool guy. Wetcat.org.
Nice.
Yes.
Thank you. But talking of other people's music.
Mr. Pete.
Mr. Godam Matthew.
Yes.
Mr. Mystery.
In here, in studio, special guest star.
We have an interview.
With special guest star.
Pete. Pete of the show, of the band.
Welcome, Pete.
Oh, thanks.
So, Pete.
It's good being here.
Thanks for being on the show.
You're welcome.
As yourself.
You released a CD. You don't. Do you have a title for the CD or just self-titled?
Self-titled. I feel like it was a rebirth.
Where can people find it while we're talking about it?
Silence and Spades. Right now you can find it at silenceandspades.livejournal.com.
You could download the whole zip file or individual tracks.
Is it for sale or is it just for free?
It's all free.
Charge money. It's worth money.
Thank you.
I'm serious. I'm just bullshitting for the show.
I like that. What's your reason for being free?
I love everyone, and I hate myself.
That's awesome. No, it's
and more people listen to it if it's free, too.
Yeah.
It's kind of... Everyone can... I got a very nice very, very nice email from Michael, and I have an email. I've been getting a lot of nice
that
emails
liberal
about
that shit?
One. Yeah. He listens to the show.
Sorry.
And he said that I should... I think it was him that said I should charge money for it. Or it's very nice of me not to charge money for it. But I'm not going to. No one would have bought it, to be honest with you.
No, at this point, I agree. Not for yours, but just, you know, fuck it. Unless you're going to make ridiculous
a lot of
thousands.
Money.
Yeah, what the fuck
music
is the point?
For music's point, really.
I would have liked to release mine for free. You know, fuck it. Maybe we'll do the next one. I'll follow your footsteps.
Yeah, everything
it's important to just get it out there. That's cool.
But the whole CD is really good. And it's like it's almost like it kind of takes your previous stuff and it ups it a notch.
I tried.
And I feel like I shouldn't say that to you because I feel like I might put some pressure in your head that the next CD has to be even better.
Which it does.
Maybe.
Or you're fired.
Yeah. I have an idea for the next CD already, but I'm waiting.
All right.
I
want it to be better.
Was there like a specific concept for the album when you were recording
it? During the summer I was recording a song every day, pretty much, trying to sort of figure out what the hell I was doing. And then with this, actually the first time ever that I sat and wrote songs on guitar, I'd never done that before.
Have you played guitar before?
No, I still haven't played. I wrote songs with the guitar. Me and the guitar collaborated together. No, I played the guitar, but I never really wrote. I always wrote all my songs using the keyboards.
Yeah.
I can actually sort of fake playing keyboards pretty well. Playing the guitar, I can't really fake.
Well, the guitar work sounds pretty cool on here. It's just kind of...
Do you just play literally by ear? Can you read at this point?
I can read nothing. I play all by ear.
By ear. Yeah. That's cool. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it started out as a concept album. It ended up not being a concept album, but...
What was the initial concept? The
initial concept was... what's that noise?
My headphones are cracking. Sorry.
That's all right. The
initial concept...
Yeah, it was... I was trying to do like a sci-fi thing about a guy that sort of worked on Mars... And I was relating it to my job. It was a metaphor.
And that one song has to do a little bit.
Yeah,
there's
that
a song
has
where
to do
you talk
a lot about it. Yeah.
I'm just another something on Mars, and it's just another colonist on Mars.
Yes, it was about Martian colonists and cosmic gods and people going up into space. But it was really all about my life.
How did you get the ideas that just came?
They come to me.
And did you have any specific... moments.
I wanted the album to really be Kris Kristofferson crossed with 2001 A Space Odyssey. Originally.
Did you have any like specific moments while recording it? Like memorable moments?
I cried every day. Every night. I worked on this. When I think about how many hours I put into it, it scares me. And I think I could have been out doing other things, like getting a new job.
Of course.
Well, I mean, do you want to... We could play like a little clip first, talk about it a little more, because it's kind of weird talking about it without anyone hearing it.
Oh, that is weird. Damn it. You know? We suck.
So maybe we'll play like a little bit, and then we'll, for the break, we'll play like a full song.
Shit.
You want to do that?
Yeah, sure.
God All right, so, damn it.
Craig's falling into utter depression right now. Need to play Oblivion and forget the world.
We need to get on our game. That would, everyone's like screaming, what does it sound like? I know so much about it.
This is track 3 called, I can't read it. The opposite of, I don't know, whatever.
We're just going to play a clip and then get back into it?
Yeah, here we go. Choice to play just a clip of.
I have a production question.
Yes, sir.
Without insulting you.
I was purposely going for a very lo-fi. But what?
No. I really enjoy it a lot. I like your music and your music. I've asked you a lot of questions. I think it's interesting the way you write. Did you want the reverb-y sound on the vocals?
Of course.
I'm so curious what it would be like if you did it with like dry vocals.
This is Craig trying to take control of the album.
No, it's just I'm curious because you know
my last CD had everyone kept on asking me that, like, oh, you put so much reverb on your voice, you know, once you try without, and I did, and I hate myself without reverb. I wish I had reverb on my voice all the time.
Did you run it by other people?
Yeah, people have heard it.
Here's one of the things I liked a lot about the CD is a lot of your stuff seems like a lot of the songs are kind of almost very seem like the subject is very kind of outlandish, kind of like, you know, just a little like, you know, off in a weird way. And like, and the vocals kind of match that too with like, here's Pete, he's making some music and he kind of doesn't care what the fuck he's saying, even though I think you do. On these songs, I almost felt like there were parts where it just like, it's fun, but it's like Beck.
That's like Beck.
It's like back where it's like he's having fun, but he doesn't care, but he's having fun. But then he's being honest, too.
That's what I feel, too.
Yep. Like there's parts where I go, there's Pete.
I thought it was nice.
Thanks.
The morning thing's nice.
and there's, I don't know, just certain parts of the certain songs. Like I said, there's track 4, I was talking to you for a walk, where there's that part where... Who is that? Someone doing backups with you?
That's me imitating other voices because I have no friends.
Well, I mean, like on the 4, 3, 2, 1, you like have this little countdown when you talk about your rocket ship to Mars.
Yeah,
that's just you, really. It sounds like a woman backing you up.
Yeah, that's me imitating a woman's voice. There's a
really,
yeah,
that's amazing. I was like, I wonder who that was.
Can I hear that?
It's kind of funny. Well, it's like it's right at the end of the song, but The on the second song, I actually recorded this guy that I know named Toby. Hello, Toby. Okay. I had him come in and I was like, dude, I really want other people to work on this music with me. Like, could you help me out? And he played a guitar and sang backup vocals. And I actually, I'm an asshole. I recorded over his backing vocals with my own voice imitating him.
Why?
I don't know. I just didn't like how it sounded. I would like to, you know, work with other people.
I think it's coming up soon, right?
Oh, yeah.
Next
yeah.
verse. I just want to hear this part, sorry. And the fictional characters that surround my living room tell me I'm making a mistake with my life. But I can't survive in this heavy atmosphere. So I've been working on this rocket for years, and it's almost done. 5, 5, 5, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and I'm gone. Sorry, just that part to me is—it's coming out weird in my mix in my headphones.
Sounded a little strange, yeah.
But it's just so awesome. Sorry.
Thanks. Ba, 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 ba.
I like your stuff. I can never, never write what you write, and it's interesting. I really like it. I don't know where the hell you come up with your shit.
From an awesome place.
It comes from Planet Awesome.
Yeah.
Is that just what comes out of you?
Yeah, that's what comes out.
I like it.
I'm starting to feel weird talking about it. Yeah. So let's move on.
Let's play you a song for break, and then we'll come back.
I'm trying to understand.
I just also...
Craig's so like confused.
It's staring me down. I feel strange. I'm starting to sweat a little bit.
Like, I just don't get where, like, what kind of music comes from.
It's really, really creative. I just
like you sound like one of those guys who's never touched an instrument, being like,
"How does
Craig,
that work? No, I know totally.
How do you like? Where do the ideas come
exactly.
from, man?
Because he approaches music. I'm talking about him like he's not here, but I think Pete approaches music much different than you or I do, and I don't know. I'm never gonna quite understand it. It's really crazy. It's just you know, talking to myself.
All right. Well, here's
no one's. I just. I want to. I got a lot of emails, like at least 50 emails from people after I put this online thanking me. I haven't responded to. Not thanking me. Telling me that it was good. I want to thank them because I haven't responded to anyone. If you happen to listen to the show, probably you don't, but thanks.
Well, download it at silenceandspades.livejournal.com. And here is. No, Not a Consolation, track one off Pete's new CD, which has awesome cover art.
Oh, yeah.
Our friend Alex.
after this, we're going to come back with theater and games.
And when you go to Live Journal, you get a link to her art site, which you should look at because it's amazing.
Really good.
Yes.
All right. Here it is.
Haven't seen you in a long time.
We're back.
We are back.
We're back with backflips.
We're back with front flips.
We're back with spirals and whirlwinds of people.
And twirls and imagination.
And love.
We're going to talk
above
about
all love.
Cirque du Soleil. La Nuba.
What's the La Nuba?
I think the translation is the noob in French, but it could be wrong.
The noob, really?
Yeah, I don't
know. Cirque du Soleil, the noob.
I didn't get a sense that's what it was about, though.
Were a lot of people jumping and LOLing?
You have no idea. Jump, space bar, jump. No, Siobhan and I went to visit my mother in Florida and over the weekend, and we had a bit of theater. And we went to see Cirque du Soleil, and it was...
Was this the first time you've seen Cirque du Soleil?
It is, and I've kind of wanted to see it for a while.
Have you seen it on television before? Or?
Yeah, I did, and I was, you know, this is when it first came out. Kind of put it in the back of my mind. I try not to think about Cirque du Soleil.
When you first came out of the closet, you decided that you wanted to be in Cirque du Soleil? We keep on telling Craig not to interrupt, and now we're interrupting him.
It's okay. I kind of like it.
Yeah, sure.
No, I
don't know. You've seen Cirque du Soleil on TV before?
I have, yeah.
Okay, I like it on TV. I'm really, you know what I'm so excited for? To watch it in HD.
Oh, yeah? Well, you know what the HD is really is real life? There's not much better HD than real life.
No, HD is better.
HD is better.
Yeah, it's much clearer than real life. I gotta say, I wear glasses, but I will still say I like watching HD better than seeing real people.
Okay. Well, I can't afford an HD TV, so I decided to see it in real life because the brightness is better.
So, was it really a good show seeing it live? Like, how was it?
It was, okay. There's a lot of hype on it, and how imaginative it is, and how. Like, holy
are you speaking
fuck.
Wait, about the Go Down Matthew CD or Cirque du Soleil?
A little bit of both. But there's a bunch of hype on it. And in my head, like when it started, I was like, you know what? At first, it's like, all right, there's a little too much hype, but it really starts to come into its own the way they did it. And basically, I can give you a rundown of the show.
The hype was all in your head or just from like surrounding?
Surrounding. Like, there's a lot of hype about the show and how over the top it is.
I'm gonna take counterpoint here because I know that we're doing it. This is an opinionated show. I hate it. I hate Cirque du Soleil.
Have you seen it?
I've seen it on television.
All right.
What do you hate about it?
I think it's stupid.
Do you like circuses better?
Yeah. I saw the Moscow Circus at Radio City. It was amazing. I was scared the entire time though because it makes me nervous, but... Cirque du Soleil just seems corny to me.
It is corny.
Yeah.
Like, for some reason, as retarded as I am, I love other cultures and how bizarre they can be. There's a dude in the show with, like, this one-piece, I guess lederhosen is the only way I could describe it, connected to underwear.
Okay.
Like, you know, like it's like suspender straps with the front piece, and then just his balls... gigantic balls in his underwear and little shoes, like water shoes, I guess. And he's this scary bald dude that just, we're not even sure. And then it cuts this point mid-show. All right, basically, I'll give you a rundown. And I thought
hold
this was
up,
brilliant.
Hold up, you're breaking up.
All right. Let me start.
This guy in the lederhose.
With the giant balls.
Why is he cheesy? What does he
do
that's cheesy?
Not cheesy. It's, but it's, the outfit is definitely French.
Okay.
All right.
That's how people dress in France.
Yeah. You go there and that's outfit, just what they all look like. But no, I thought it was brilliant. I hate the fucking circus. It actually really makes me mental.
Yeah, I don't like circuses.
I'm afraid of circuses and clowns. But they, the way they opened the show is great. Everyone's getting their seats and they have these two clowns. You like subliminal. Like, you don't notice them at first. And like, they're walking out and they're like all these colorful boxes and they start interacting people in the audience, and I thought it was an awesome way to fill that like initial everyone's getting their seats, it's kind of awkward time, and like it gives you something to watch before the show. It's like a pre-show.
Okay.
And it's really subtle, and I thought that was brilliant because then once the show kicks in, things little by little start to build to a bigger, it's a crescendo, and there's these fucking guys on these like wheels and they're all brightly colored and doing crazy shit, but you're like not too crazy. And then like at some point during the show, little flower children come out,
okay,
twirling like spools, these giant spools, and you're like, oh, talented little girls. And then they start, like, this one girl does this twirl thing where like the thing, she's going so fast that the thing is just hovering in midair.
Okay.
And you're like, holy fuck.
So it goes from like, here's like little kids, that's cute, to like, whoa.
To like, these little girls have supernatural powers.
Have done more in their life.
Yes, yes, than I ever had. The whole time I was like, oh my God, I'm not doing anything with myself. They must train like every day, plus do shows two times a night. And then there was this amazing part with this this very hunky dude in very flowing white pants. And beautiful, like velvet red, like curtains drop down, and he no wires or anything, and he like wraps his arms in them, and he like he goes really like gracefully flying, and the music's like really beautiful and orchestral, and he's just really graceful, like
he's flying around with the curtains,
and it's like flowing, and you're like, holy fuck, and there's just all this background stuff, because it's not just what's going on, it's so much in the background. The way they did it was really brilliant, because they put something to focus on, and then there's like 16 other things going on in the background.
So that's probably perfect for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Me and Siobhan, because we're both like, can't focus.
ADD freak shows.
Yeah, it's but it was great. And then they do this whole insane tumbling thing with trampolines, and there's a building, and there's the devil and balls guy, and they're like flipping and running up the building.
You're losing it.
Well, anyway,
it was a good show.
It was a good show, man. I had a really good time.
And what do you say to Pete saying your good show's cheesy?
So it sounded totally corny. There's a guy in flowing robes who flies around and tumbling.
What's so corny about that?
No, I agree with Pete.
It sounds like a Meatloaf video.
Meatloaf rocks.
Meatloaf is awesome. Right. I think
what's
he's coming around.
What's
on
wrong
tour
with Meatloaf?
Again.
Nah, Meatloaf is horrible. I like Meatloaf's music, but come on, his videos are corny as hell.
Yeah, they're corny, but they're awesome.
I'm gonna go
that.
See
it's
him
like
on his upcoming tour.
He can't sing anymore. I'm warning you now. He lost
since
his.
When?
Oh, he sucks now. He's
how do really you know
bad.
That?
I just saw him on TV not that long ago,
and it wasn't good.
Did
you see him in HD or just standard?
Yeah, it was in everything I see is in HD. Okay. He was just sort of screams. Like he really lost his voice, which happens when you get older.
Well, he's been focusing more on the acting. By the way, we've segued now from Cirque du Soleil to Meatloaf.
Absolutely.
As weird as that. And Meatloaf isn't even French.
We'll have
There's
to go
no
back
tie.
And edit that bullet point in.
Now we're going to talk about Meatloaf for 2 seconds. But no, it was a beautiful show. It's put together, I think, by this guy, Dragon.
Dragon?
D-Dragon?
That's his name. It's Dragon. And man, it's fucking corny.
I think
but,
it looks awesome.
It's beautiful. It's really beautiful.
I don't get the corny thing.
I could see how Republicans would find that entertaining, because it's different from their everyday lives. So I could see why you would be into it.
Conservatives and Republicans.
But I haven't seen it live. Maybe I need to.
What if you just looked up and saw a guy with his arms wrapped around some curtain just flying around the room? You'd be like,
I'd be like, that's corny.
You have
corny,
to keep in
man.
Mind it's
so
like
cheesy.
40 feet above cheesy? The ground. No wires. He's just really graceful. Like,
how's he flying with no wires?
Well, this is imagine
if
you
wrap
on
TV.
Imagine if you wrap two long velvet curtains around your wrists, and like you had a lot of arm strength, so you could like really control your body and be really fluid. And he just like takes off, and like just he doesn't even look like he's straining. He's just being held up by his wrists. It's really, really very amazing. And I'm like, I do nothing, and I'm totally out of shape.
You'd see some guy flying around the room that you're in right now. And you'd be like, that's corny. I'd be like, holy shit, that guy's awesome.
Yeah,
I was like, that guy can fucking control his body.
I think you're just trying to stand behind a point for no reason.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Well, the show isn't all about flowing guy.
Because I almost changed it and said, okay, I need to see it. But you wouldn't let me. So
yeah,
now I'm going to say I will not see it. Fuck certain.
Well, French comedy hasn't been... French comedy is fucking corny, but that's kind of
why
that's
because you can't understand it, because it's a different language.
The Birdcage is hilarious. I just watched the sequel. Isn't
that with Nathan Lane?
Well, the original Birdcage, that was a French movie. It was a French movie.
Oh, okay.
Hilarious. Check it out. That and Meatloaf's music, but not his videos. And Cirque du Soleil. Craig liked it.
I recommend it. You know, it's a little pricey, but I definitely recommend it. It's
yeah,
good.
You get what you pay for.
You get what you pay for. There it is.
Speaking of pricey, I buy a lot of Nintendo DS games.
All bad
that
ones.
That are all horrible, because I don't research it. But Dean found a good one. This week, just
I did.
Came out.
I found a really good one, actually.
Tell me about it.
Game that just came out, very under the radar, and actually very hard to find, supposedly, right now. like EBs only got two copies apiece. I actually had to go to Best Buy to get mine. A game called Hotel Dusk, Room 215 for Nintendo DS. It is the rebirth, in my opinion, of the point-and-click mystery adventure game.
What's the synopsis?
The synopsis, Craig, is... Let me get my notes here. It's a noir-style mystery about a disgraced New York detective on a quest for redemption and revenge. It's kind of got... The art style is really cool. It's kind of got this... It's a little bit like... You know,
Cirque du Soleil.
It's Cirque du Soleil meets... No, it's like 3D graphical adventure meets like noir-style cutscenes meets the AHA video.
What? Is it anything like Seventh Guest or any of those games?
It's the same kind of genre, I'd say. But like the characters are all... The characters are the characters from the AHA video. You know, like that scratchy pencil on paper.
Right, the line drawings.
Yeah, like that's the characters and that's how they move and that's how you see them.
Does AHA's music play during the game?
In my head.
Good.
But it took a little while for me to catch on to it, to actually be like, I really like this, not just, this is cool. And, you know, it's a lot of dialogue-based, you know, a lot of pressing people for questions. But it's cool how it's done because you have to press people for questions in a way that, like, you're kind of making them volunteer the information, like they're giving it to you. Like, if you press people too hard, like, they'll be like, get sick of you and the game's over because you can't follow that tree, you know, with them. And, that's a lot of cool. I don't know. It's really cool. And they give you a little journal that you write in with the DS pad. So if you have notes to take, you can keep it in the game. So you don't have to have like a side notebook or anything.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, if you're a DS fan, check it out. And Pete, maybe you should buy that instead of the 1001. Yeah. You buy every bad game. You don't buy any good games. And I always tell you, just if you're not sure, just call me up.
What games are you into?
I'll give you some recommendations.
What kind of games do you like,
bad,
typically?
I'm not into bad games. I just end up buying bad
them,
games.
Supporting them, and that's why they keep making them.
Here's the thing. I was the only game that I played for years. I played the Tony Hawk game, and I was like, this is cool, for PlayStation 2. That was basically the only game that I ever even opened up.
Yeah, better for Dreamcast.
All right.
Sorry.
Agreed, actually.
But I got a Nintendo DS, and I thought, I'm never going to use this. But I played the new Super Mario Brothers for it.
Yeah.
That they came out with, and I was like, and I could not stop playing it. I was like, this is amazing. Mm. So every DS game must be good, because this is good, and it's the only one that I own. And then I went out and bought 150 horrible, horrible games that I'm never going to touch.
You said the next purchase after that was Sonic?
No, Mega Man.
Oh, Mega Man. I'm sorry.
I wish I bought Sonic. Yeah. I bought Mega Man. I played it for 10 minutes, and I realized that I would rather kill myself than play this anymore.
Did you Did you say you bought Superman Returns?
My brother got me Superman Returns for Christmas, and I was going to return it because everyone was telling me that's a horrible game and I shouldn't play it. But I was sick last week, and I was laying in bed, and it was unopened on my nightstand, so I would just constantly be seeing it over and over again. And it's the type of thing where I was like, I'm just gonna fucking open this. And I played it for the first time this morning.
What'd you think?
At first, I thought this is okay because I was expecting it to be really bad.
Yeah.
From what everyone was saying.
Well, that's always good. It's always good to go into things thinking this is going to suck.
Yeah.
And like Terminator. No, sorry. Never mind. I'm not going to get sidetracked. Go ahead.
And it started out, and I'm like, this is kind of fun. Yeah. You know, you're Superman. It's basically the beginning. It's just a bunch of sort of races. You have a minute to go through things. And then the actual game started. And it's probably the most, and keep in mind it was like 5:30 in the morning and I was laying in bed doing this, but possibly the most irritating thing that I've ever played before.
Like, what was so irritating?
The main board of the game is basically, it's like a little Superman head and then the bad guy's heads, and they take over different parts of the city, right? So you have to basically move from block to block, sort of like a chess game almost.
Okay, like clearing out an area before moving on
right.
to your next strategic point.
Exactly. So okay. you have to turn everything red. So basically... You just keep on clicking on the next, but you can only move a certain direction. So you keep on clicking on the next thing, and then after you click on the second thing, it won't let you move anymore and makes sort of this obnoxious noise. And then every 5 seconds, it goes wah, wah, really loud.
Say that again.
Wah, wah, and then it goes into load. This is seriously every 5 to 10 seconds. Then it loads, and then it shows you what your score is currently. Meanwhile, if you were watching the game, you would know what your score was.
Wait, what's that? Wah, like, what does it symbolize?
That's the score is coming. And then it loads.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I thought maybe that's the kind of sound I would think that someone else took over your old territory.
Well, I mean, it basically means that, like, it shows you the scores of the villains, too. So it means, like, look, you're look, the villains are doing well, sort of.
So this sounds a lot different than the Xbox 360 version of the game.
But I think that's completely different. Yeah, it's a DS.
It's supposed to be just as bad, though. It's
fucking awful, man. I saw Dane playing it, and it was like the worst.
The 360 version?
Yeah, like just blockish movement. Really bad.
Well, the thing was, they, from what I know, they actually delayed the release of those games because they weren't. You scratching your beard picks up so well in the mic. Sorry. It's amazing. Like, they actually were supposed to release it, it's supposed to coincide with the release of the movie. And they were like, we're not ready yet. It's just terrible the way it is. We need more time. So they gave them more time.
And they came up with crap.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine how much worse it was.
Yeah.
I've been sticking to Oblivion.
Yeah.
I'm 100% beyond obsessed. The whole time in Florida, all I can think about is I need to get out of the Aelid ruins. And I called Dean from Florida to tell them. To tell him, to give him a tip that if he needs extra gold to go to the Aelid ruins, and there's.
And he gave me directions.
I gave him directions. It's northeast in Cyrodiil. It's east. Yeah, I could point on my map on the wall.
Which no one could see but us.
Yeah, but right. This is the Imperial City.
Craig has a framed map.
Yeah, it's really nice looking.
Video game. Town, the country,
the world,
the world that well, the video game takes place.
Well, it's not the world; it's the area.
Don't use my straw. That's my fucking soda. What are you touching it for?
This is the Aelid ruins.
Yeah, but no. That's the Imperial City.
The Aelid ruins are right around here.
I might trek there because I'm actually in that town. What is it, Cyrodiil or whatever? Chlorophyll.
I'm in
that town right there.
Chadenhall.
That's the town I'm in right now. I'm working out of Chadenhall right now.
Right. It's east of Chadenhall, right around Morrowind, right at the edge.
Okay.
Right around there. Right, and it's amazing.
I got
amazing.
A question for you. Can you, at the edge of Morrowind, you can't actually travel into Morrowind, right?
No.
And play the third game again? Okay.
No, it's just, at least from what I've seen, it just stops. Yeah, you can't go further.
Gotcha.
But it's this underground city and ridiculous amounts of gold.
Don't spoil it too much because
I won't. But yeah. everyone's wearing dwarven and orcish gear, and I have so much fucking gold. I might actually. I joked to Dean about buying a house that he still lives with his parents, but he owns a house in Cyrodiil.
Yeah, that was the same joke. I think we're making the same jokes. I told him that I wanted to see him tell his parents that he bought a house in Oblivion.
Which is just a shack. It was a cheap.
I'll go live there. Where'd you buy? Was it in the thieves' village?
On the docks in the Imperial City.
Right, the waterfront.
The cheapest house. But
how much did you buy your house for?
It's $2,000 for that.
Really?
One.
Really? That's it?
Yeah, it's the cheapest one.
I thought it was like $6,000.
Well, there's other ones in different areas. But you were very against buying a house in that game.
I was until I went into the Aelid ruins because I didn't.
You actually were. I'd almost say bitchy to me about it because I think were we text messaging?
We were.
I hate text messaging. It cost me so much money. Just call me from now on.
I hate calling. but I understand. No, because I was. Yeah, I totally give him a hard
time.
So
let's say I called you and I was saying like, yeah, I bought this. I bought my first house in Oblivion. It's really great.
He was really excited.
And you came back at me with like, why buy a house? Just steal your stuff. I'm like, all right. And then you almost started responding to me, kind of calling me a consumer.
Yeah, I was.
So you're making political judgments about what he's doing in a video game.
And I was trying to get the point across that I wasn't excited for my house because I'm like, oh, look, my house. I was excited for my house because I have so much items. And I'm an alchemist, and I have so many things I'm storing that I need to, like, that I go into these dungeons, and I have, like, I'm carrying almost maximum weight, so I can barely pick up new treasure. I have to keep dumping stuff.
Right.
And I have no dumping grounds to hold the stuff which I need to hold on to for later potions and later things that I might want. And at a house, you can actually, you know, buy a dresser and put all your stuff in your dresser.
You could buy furniture at the house?
Yeah, you buy furniture.
It gives you an option when you want to buy the house,
and then you go to a store. You go to like the local merchants.
Much like real life.
Yeah, you go to local merchants and you buy furniture there and they give you a slip and it gets delivered to your house.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. And then, right, how much can I cabinet?
Mr. Consumer, all right, fuck
well, off. This was my reason because at the time I oh my God, the cat is making so much noise. At the time, before heading to the Aelid Ruins, I would just steal everything. Steal everything.
Yeah.
I made a point to steal everything, never buy anything, and everything I found, everything I stole, I would sell to my fence.
Yeah.
And just get all the gold from. So I never carried anything other than the sword I was using, the armor I was wearing. But now I have two different types of armor because I became the grand champion in the arena.
Okay.
So now I have arena armor and my shadow armor, which is like vampire armor.
Oh.
So now I could see, now I would deposit like the armor there, and I have like a bow that I don't like to use often, but sometimes I like to use. I would put the bow and some dwarven arrows.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's the thing.
So I understood that.
I'm also potions. At the point in the game where I have some alternate armor and stuff, and you know, and the biggest thing, I have so much, you know, like a lot of the alchemy stuff really takes up, you know, space for me.
What kind of stuff do you have?
I just collect all the alchemy stuff I can. You
like corn and flour and all that?
Just the actual herbs in the world. You know, you go out, you pick flowers and pick plants.
Do you know a good place to find nightshade?
No, but I can look at my guide and tell you.
I need if you can, look up I need to find all the vampire element. I'm going to cure myself of vampirism.
That's good.
Right now you're a vampire in the game.
I'm a vampire, and it's fucking annoying because I can't go out during the day, and everything I do, I have to wait. I have to wait like 12 hours for the nighttime, everything. And then I have to make sure that I'm by a town or a cave to run to and wait in.
Oh, that's tough.
It's a pain in the ass.
Imagine how a real vampire feels.
Exactly.
Well, I thought I heard that if you feed in that day, that the sunlight won't affect you.
That day.
Yeah.
But like, I tend to like keep going on quests. So like, I'll be in the middle of nowhere and the sun will come up and I'll have to run from one place to another. It's a real pain in the ass. And a lot of my quests now are like, meet someone, so-and-so at 6 a.m.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, 6 a.m, no, I'm going to turn to dust.
In Chayandil or whatever?
Yeah, stuff like that.
With a crazy guy?
Yeah. Oh, right. That's tough. So if I go to meet him, I'm going to fucking burn the sun. I can't. This is the most insane fucking conversation ever.
I have no idea what you're
This is the kind of
about.
Podcast I want. This is why I'm starting my own site and podcast.
We should start this in the beginning of the show.
Yeah. That's why we start with games.
Oh, Jesus.
Telling you.
Yeah. Actually, it's probably a good idea.
We can edit it right now.
Yeah.
But
we might have to. It's not a bad idea.
One last thing on games, and this amazes me because Pete's been talking to me for. You mentioned it a while ago, that you have Shadow of the Colossus, which is an incredible, brilliant, beautiful game.
Which I am very good looking in love with.
Not even good looking, just a beautiful game. I mean, like overall, the story and the feel of it, and just like the, you know, it's just amazing. And you are still stuck. Within the first 5 minutes, for weeks.
I'm going to explain it, though. That makes me sound more pathetic than I actually am. I kept on hearing about this game. I bought it. It was like $20 somewhere. And I put off playing it for a while because I just didn't feel like it. And then I put it on, and the intro is like half an hour. The first movie that you watch?
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, it's really cool. But I think by the time a half an hour is up, I was tired. So I just, you get on a horse and you have to ride to where the first sort of Colossus is and the game begins, I would assume, once you find that Colossus. But I think the first time I played it, I was actually doing it for about 6 hours and I was like, by hour five, I was like, I could jump off the horse. I could swim in the water. This whole game is very beautiful, but I don't know what the hell, I can't do it. I don't know what the hell is wrong with me.
You have to hold your sword up in the light.
I did.
And
I did it.
When you it shines the light. Yourself, it directs into a beam.
My problem is that beam goes everywhere. It faces everything.
No, but the beam. No, you have to keep turning until the beam focuses.
It focuses
onto a small point.
It right,
focuses and then on you everything. Ride
that way. Directly straight of the runes that you start in.
Is it far?
You have to go across the plane.
It's kind of far, right?
Not terribly, but yeah, a little bit.
That's what,
you go across
that's
the plane
me.
Until you hit like a rock face, and you have to climb those rocks.
Oh.
And then literally one of the coolest moments in gaming and of the themes of the game begins.
Oh, okay.
And
I'm going to do it tonight.
You should, because it is awesome.
But it's not like I've been playing it for the past 6 weeks, but
you played it for 6 hours.
Yeah, 6 hours, and then and like hours again yesterday, two days ago.
I remember like I played the beginning, and I was a little lost on how to get to the first place, but like within like an hour or two, I was set.
An hour or two to find the first place? Took you that long?
Well, you know, the intro, and then like kind of figuring out the sword thing and like
that's what I'm
and
saying.
You get obsessed with the horse a little bit.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened to me. So it was like 5 hours of fucking around with it, and then the last hour trying to find the thing, I couldn't find it. I gave up. But I'll try again. Shadow of the Colossus,
best game on the PS2.
Rust might have a new segment for us. The weather. He just said, have you looked outside recently? Which leads me to believe there's a blizzard behind you.
It's snowing. It's snowing. Look when I went out to have a cigarette, really? It was snowing. Yeah.
Oh, no. That means I have to go to work.
That's funny. You have to go to work when it snows. Yes. Most people think it snowed out of work.
Yeah.
We did a lot this show.
Yeah, a little too much. No, not too much.
No, it's good.
You think we should edit it up? And
No. I don't.
Well, Craig feels the political segment was really bad, which you kind of...
It wasn't bad. It was just a bit boring.
You know what part of the problem is, too? And it's mainly me, but kind of when I'm speaking and I could see you're just so zoned out, it's really... Like, I don't know who I'm talking to.
I wish that I knew more or understood more.
I literally feel like... I feel really weird.
I have a different opinion.
What's your opinion?
I think the political segment was good.
Okay.
It didn't go on for that long. It's kind of short. Talking about Oblivion went on for a little long.
Yeah.
I have no idea what's going on there. But
so we should leave it as is.
I think we should leave it as is. And
I don't have time to screw with it because I have to watch Battlestar Galactica and avoid my work calling me to come in and shovel.
I have one last quick interesting thing. Somehow Dean and I are wearing the exact same outfit this week.
Exact same.
The exact
this,
same
Well, this outfit. Week? Actually, yeah, I've been wearing this outfit all week, too. To be honest, I haven't changed.
So there's been two of us.
Yeah.
It would be funny if I got in Florida. I was like, I was just up north. I saw a guy who looked exactly like you. We both have skinnier and taller.
New Balance shoes on, black jeans, a State of Revolution black sweatshirt with a black shirt underneath.
With a black shirt under.
Yeah.
That's really weird.
We'll take a picture.
It's a comfortable outfit, don't you agree?
Yeah, it is. You'll see the picture on the site.
I'm ready for leisure or work.
All right. Well, this is the end of the show. If you feel like contacting us, Michael, feel free to flame the hell out of me. Visit our website at thestevenspencershow.podomatic.com.
And most of all, please be a voice of the show. If there's something that we're not doing that you want to hear more of, let us know.
That's right.
Feel free.
Help us. Help us help you. Help us give.
Give!
takes the skin right off my hide. To think I'll have to give it all up someday.